Welcome back to Chai Rach Nachyomi. You are listening to Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chav Zayin with Yoshua Eisenberg. And in the 27th Perek of Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel decides that maybe we'll keep a safe distance from Shaul HaMelech. Eretz Yisrael at this time is a little bit too close for comfort, or at least the main parts of Eretz Yisrael. So he decides to go into the Plishti territory of Eretz Yisrael to live among Achish Melech Gus, where he forms what you should be thinking of as a very unlikely alliance with Achish Melech Gus. First of all, Achish Melech Gus is a Plishti king. He is not a Jew. He is an enemy of the Jewish people. And if you remember, only 6 Perakim ago, David HaMelech was almost captured by Achish Melech Gus, and that was when David had to feign being insane. He had to act like he was mentally deranged to the point that Achish looked at him and he's like, I don't know who this guy is, but I have enough fools to deal with at home. So why in the world is David HaMelech aligning himself with Achish? And second of all, how did it even work? It's kind of strange, right? Like, did he look at him and he's like, hey, aren't you that guy that was drooling and, you know, coloring on the walls? And like, very strange. How did David end up with Achish Melech Gus? So this is a question that was bothering several of the Mefarshim, and they all give really the same answer. So if you look in the Radak, the Abarbanel, the Malbim, the Metzudas David, they all suggest the same idea, that there is a very big difference between David HaMelech in Perek Chaf Aleph and David HaMelech now in Perek Chaf Zayin. Because in Perek Chaf Aleph, David HaMelech was literally a fugitive. He was on the road running away, and he was very desperate. His support system, his support team was not a very large one at all. And he didn't really have much of a choice. He was about to be captured. The subjects of Achish actually had captured him. And when they brought him to Achish, David really had no choice. And at that point in David's life, David, again, was still coming to terms with the fact that he was being pursued by Shaul. And I had suggested back in Chaf Aleph that, in fact, David was forced to confront the question of why Hashem creates people who do very strange and sometimes seemingly psychotic things. And David stopped asking questions after he realized that, you know what, Hashem does everything for a reason. And at that moment, David himself became crazy, as it were. But at this point in time, Shaul HaMelech has, for now, resolved to not pursue David. David is just taking safety measures. And not only that, but the Navi tells us in this parak that David now has 600 men supporting him. He's got a 600-man army. And by sending the message ahead of time that David is not really on the best of terms with Shaul, Achish is now ready to go into an alliance with David. And it's sort of a fake alliance, because Achish believes now that David is going to be, for some reason, fighting against the Jewish enemies, perhaps in some form of rebellion against Shaul. But of course, that's not in fact what David does. David continues to fight many of their enemies, the Jewish enemies, namely Amalek, among others. The Navi lists Geshuri and the Gizri, or alternatively, the Grizi people. But the point is, Achish doesn't know any of this. He doesn't realize that David is using his alliance with Achish just to take out more of the Jewish enemies, and not the enemies who are Jews. Because in fact, David is not doing anything with the intention of harming actual Jewish people, actual Bnei Israel. And this works out pretty nicely. One issue that I just want to address that's not necessarily a halachic issue. In other words, it could be a halachic issue, but I'm not addressing it from a halachic perspective, but more of a hashkafic perspective. I'm not paskining anything, but just on the standpoint of when it comes to honesty and dishonesty, and in cases of bikuach nefesh, where it's a life and death matter. So again, David, we could have argued that maybe he engaged in some form of geneva's das when he acted like he was insane back in Perek Chav Aleph, but that was for sure a life and death issue. Here, again, he went on his own to Achish Melech Gus, and he did so when he wasn't exactly being pursued. But what I noticed very interestingly is that, just like David HaMelech earlier never actually said anything that was false, if you look in our parak, it doesn't look as though David says anything that is not true in this story either. We see Chazal describe when a tzaddikim are doing anything that seems dishonest, they're very, very careful not to use words that are blatantly false. We see David doing whatever he can to stay true to his character. Anyway, we'll see you back here at Perichov Chas.